WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-9636. Normally at this point of the show, I would tell you, write that number down, plug it into your phone, dial it into your desktop device, because we love to hear from our listeners. Tonight we don't. Tonight we're not. Tonight it's all about us and the big motion picture tonight, because we're going to be giving you our Oscar picks.
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed to help you win your Oscar pool. That guarantee is not actually guaranteed, but I got a pretty good track record on this thing over the last few years, and we're breaking in a new co-host on this.
Yes,
this
we
year.
Are.
So for the last 3 years, it's been Lisa Nichols and I in a battle royale, in a blood feud. Two film fans enter, one film fan leaves, over who is better at handicapping the Oscars. And I think we wound up pretty much in a dead heat between the two of us. I won a couple of years. She won one or two years.
I honestly, to be
Lisa
frank, I'm pretty sure
Lisa,
that...
What, by what
I'm pretty
math?
Sure my picks are pretty...
I think she was 1 year ahead.
Pretty accurate.
I'm trying to figure out...
I think you won two and she won three.
No.
Does that sound right?
No. We each won two and there was a tie 1 year.
Oh, look who's getting defensive.
No, it's not.
I'm the one who came up with the idea for the tiebreaker.
Yeah, there was a tie 1 year and the tiebreaker was who got best picture right. Mm-hmm. And that gave her a win.
Sorry.
But there were... No, I mean, it's a tiebreaker. But we had the same exact number of picks right. And I go to an Oscar party and it's like, I win the big prize every year for getting the most things right. Molly is usually way, way, way back. So
I was better last year.
Molly Gary is here tonight. Hello, dear.
Hello, Molly Gary.
And Chase Mullane is with us as always. This is one of two times a year that I am forced to endure my wife on the radio.
Three times a year.
Three? What's the third?
Thanksgiving, Christmas.
I love Molly being here, though, because Molly, I believe, loves me more than she loves you.
That is very true.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, it probably is.
I'm nicer to her.
And everyone likes Molly better than they like me, so.
Oh, absolutely. That was a given.
So you get Molly tonight. So, we're doing things differently. Every year, we wind up racing through this thing. So, this year, nothing but Oscars. If you tuned in for news, if you tuned in to argue about gun control, save it for next Wednesday night. We're just talking about the Oscars tonight. We're going to play all of the nominated songs in their entirety. And I've also switched up the structure on how we're going to talk about the nominees this year. We've typically gone by the Academy format, where we put the lesser awards at the beginning and work our way up to the big stuff.
Word up.
Instead, this year, what we're going to do is we're going to start with the mortal locks and work our way down to the things that are less certain. But we're still going to keep Best Picture at the end.
Yes, as well as Best Director.
You gotta. Best Director, actually, no, is not going at the end. You're going to get that one nice and early in the show tonight. So... Let us begin. These are all mortal locks. These first 5...
In your official opinion.
5 categories.
Are all the acting ones then at the top?
Yes.
Pretty much? Okay.
If you are taking part in an Oscar pool and you pick anybody else in these 5 categories, you deserve to get laughed at when you lose. These are can't-miss mortal lock.
I can't wait to hear his picks.
Well,
I'm
so
excited.
I have to say, Derek mentioned earlier how I have a bad track record with stuff, which I do. He's right. However, my strong area is typically the acting.
Well, I was going to say, acting, I feel like, is a much more gut-feeling kind of situation. Like, the other ones are difficult because it's all about technical things, but with actors, it's... You feel it in your loins.
And I've seen the performances for all the people that I think are going to win. I've seen all the performances.
I'm interested to see what Derek thinks the answer is to all of these.
Oh, trust me. There's no disagreement on these. So we will start with the lock of all locks, which is Best Actor. And the nominees are Timothée Chalamet for Call Me By Your Name. He plays a teenager seduced by a much older adult. But it's okay because they're gay.
Okay.
If that was an adult male seducing like a 16-year-old girl, this movie would not be nominated for anything. Just
it would be nominated for Mary Kay Letourneau.
It would be called Blame It on Rio. It'd be a great movie. Daniel Day-Lewis, Phantom Thread. What's the name of the fashion designer that he plays in this?
Oh my god! Something. Shoot.
You've seen
last it. Name is Woodcock.
Okay.
There you go. The only reason why that pops in my head is because I have a coworker who has the same
I'm
last name.
So sorry. His name is Reynolds Woodcock.
Reynolds Woodcock. It's... That's right.
This is Daniel Day-Lewis's final film.
He has said that before,
yeah.
though.
And
so. It is one of the. I've actually seen this movie,
it's a great movie.
Through. Totally legal channels.
Sure you have.
But it's a very disturbing movie.
He ain't gonna win. Daniel Kaluuya for Get Out, which is the Jordan Peele topical horror movie,
comedy/social satire. Yes.
Which has been getting a lot of attention and a lot of buzz because it's very on the nose at the moment. Gary Oldman, who plays Winston Churchill in Darkest Hour.
Yes.
Which is about Churchill's rise as prime minister and his declaration of war against Germany, the start of World War II. And then Denzel Washington, back-to-back nomination years.
Should have won last year.
For Denzel, for Roman J. Israel, Esquire, a movie that nobody saw. But those who saw it say Denzel is amazing in it. The mortal lock in this category, without question, Gary Oldman.
Yes.
Really, you think?
Fight me. Yes. Why? Who are you going with?
See, Gary Oldman was my second choice, I will say. But Daniel Kaluuya, I thought because he was kind of a dark horse in that he's never been nominated for anything and that this is such a breakout movie. I was thinking that it would be him, but I agree that Gary Oldman, if it's not Daniel Kaluuya, Kaluuya. Why is that such difficult thing to say?
It's like Kaluuya. It's Kaluuya.
Kaluuya.
Since the Golden Globes. And including the Golden Globes, Gary Oldman has won every single award leading up to this.
I know, yep. But that's why I think that it's an unlikely choice, because a lot of times the Academy specifically tries to deviate from what the Golden Globes do.
Not anymore.
Not recently.
I mean, the Golden Globes, yes.
See, Molly, I was happy you were here, and now I'm kind of disappointed.
But when you win the SAG Award, when you win the BAFTA,
it's implied, I know.
The PGA, when you win all the awards... You're going to get paid. Because those are the same people who vote for the Oscars.
Well, and I guess I immediately cut out Daniel Day-Lewis and Denzel Washington and Timothy... because they've all won a lot of awards before for greater work than they did here.
Best actor never goes to somebody as young as Timothy Chalamet. It just never, ever, ever happens.
What's the youngest person to ever win?
Like 70, I think. I don't know.
Okay. I would say, well, no. The best actress, the youngest ever to win, I believe, was Dakota Fanning.
She never won. Maybe Tatum O'Neal was 10 years old.
Yeah, Tatum O'Neal for Paper Moon.
That's right.
That was a good movie. I saw that recently for the first time.
Best actress, Sally Hawkins is not in a Paddington movie at all, and you realize this about 30 seconds into The Shape of Water when she's masturbating in a bathtub.
Yowza.
So if you're used to Sally Hawkins and thinking, hey, the kids loved her in Paddington, no, don't take them to see The Shape of Water. Not good. Frances McDormand as the grieving mother of a murdered daughter in Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Margot Robbie as Tonya Harding. Skating her way into our hearts in I, Tonya. Saoirse Ronan, Lady Bird, as a teenage girl in California in the 90s, which is a stretch for her because she's Irish. And Meryl Streep, nominated every year. This year, she's nominated for The Post.
No offense to Meryl Streep, but I feel like in the last couple of years that they're nominating her just because she's Meryl Streep.
Just because she's absolutely.
And it's getting really annoying.
Yeah, it's become Meryl Streep is in a movie this year. Let's nominate her
exactly.
Because she's Meryl Streep. I think she's gotten her due.
Oh,
I don't think it's necessary anymore. Well, for me, for lead actress, I've got to go Margot Robbie. Especially because they didn't get a nod for Best Picture. I think that, like, I saw I, Tonya in theaters. It's the only one I've seen in theaters and didn't steal off the internet. But I think that she just... I feel the Oscars always try to... they pay respect where respect's due. They always like to give a little nod to at least a little bit of a picture. And the fact that other than Best Supporting Actress, this is the only nod they got. Margot Robbie was brilliant in I, Tonya. She encapsulated Tonya Harding so well.
She was great, but she's not going to win. Frances McDormand is.
Frances McDormand, mortal luck. Once again, every single precursor award has gone to her. And I agree with you, by the way, Shay. I think Margot Robbie was actually better than Frances McDormand.
Absolutely. She was brilliant in that movie. But I couldn't believe how much she committed to that role.
But the Academy adores Frances McDormand.
That's true.
Because she's married to Ethan Coen. I don't know.
One of the Coen brothers. She won for Fargo years ago.
Yeah. And she's a great actress. And she's great in this movie.
I mean, Fargo.
She's amazing. Yeah.
You might want to check your police work there, Bob. that will forever
Frances McDormand
be imprinted in my brain.
Mortal luck. Don't put anybody else on the ballot or you're not going to do well. Best Supporting Actor. Somebody who I've met. Willem Dafoe for The Florida Project. Woody Harrelson for Three Billboards. Willem Dafoe plays the manager of a motel where the lead characters live in The Florida Project. Woody Harrelson as a police chief stricken with cancer in Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Richard Jenkins as a government agent with a real mean streak. I think they're government agents, aren't they?
Who are you talking about?
The Shape of Water.
Richard Jenkins is her neighbor.
Richard Jenkins is an aging artist.
I was going to say, who are you talking about?
Richard Jenkins is an aging artist and neighbor of the female lead in The Shape of Water. Christopher Plummer, replacing Kevin Spacey in All the Money in the World. And Sam Rockwell, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Give it to Mr. Rockwell.
Yes.
Shay?
I want to go Woody Harrelson on this one. This is his third Academy Award nomination. He has not won yet, but he has, there are movies that he's been in that he has just killed it. And every time I've seen him in the Academy Awards, it's a big, like, wah, wah. But this movie is so critically acclaimed, and he's earned it. Like I said, the Academy Awards is very much, I don't want to say it's about nepotism, that's not the proper term, but it's very much giving credit where credit's due. And I think that Woody Harrelson, especially with two losses, has earned this credit.
Christopher Plummer's my guy. I love him because Sound of Music's my favorite movie, and he was Captain Von Trapp. And I was psyched when I heard that he was replacing Spacey, and he was amazing, but no chance.
Sam Rockwell.
It's all Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell. Yeah. He has won everything. Everything. Willem Dafoe is the guy who I would like to see win this.
You told me.
But it's Willem Dafoe. I mean.
Yeah.
But I don't think he has won yet, believe it or not.
You told me you thought Rockwell's role, though, was going to hurt him. So you've changed?
There was some backlash about the fact that Rockwell is playing a racist cop in this movie, and that might have favored Willem Dafoe. But the consensus opinion is that since Rockwell has won every single award leading up to this, and because there's actually some backlash in Hollywood to the backlash about that character, that Rockwell's got it in the bag. So Sam Rockwell is your mortal luck. He's going to win it. Best Supporting Actress, Mary J. Blige in Mudbound. Allison Janney as Tonya Harding's mom in I, Tonya. Leslie Manville as Woodcock's girlfriend.
Sister
in The Phantom Thread. Wow. I haven't seen Phantom Thread.
That's a rough mistake
assistant
to make.
Who also happens to be his sister.
I thought she was a romantic lead or something in that. All right. Laurie Metcalf as Saoirse Ronan's mother in Lady Bird. And Octavia Spencer as Sophie Hawkins' co-worker in The Shape of Water. Sally Hawkins' co-worker in The Shape of Water. I don't know why Octavia Spencer is here, by the way.
She was great. She's always good, but
I've seen her do better.
The thing is that when I originally,
you know, approached this project, if you will, I had Octavia Spencer as the winner just because it's Octavia Spencer. Like, she's brilliant, but I very quickly switched to Allison Janney.
Yes.
Because she was unbelievable in I, Tonya. Even just the things that I looked into the background of it, the things that were improvised, like the bird nipping at her face, all of that was improvised. Yeah. All of that was improvised by her.
She does half of her scenes in the movie with a live bird on her shoulder chewing on her ear.
Yes, and admonishing the bird for it, unscripted, in the best, most character-appropriate way. And that's why I will be shocked if she doesn't win.
She's amazing in everything she does.
She really is.
She was amazing on The West Wing. She's amazing on her current sitcom. She's great. She's awesome.
She and I feel a kind of kinship with her because, as I think I've spoken about on the show before, there have been a lot of roles that I've auditioned for that I've been rejected for because I'm so tall. And she has gone through a similar thing, and she didn't really get her first role until she was in her 40s.
Yep.
When she did The West Wing.
She's inspirational, and she's just so talented.
She is spectacular.
She's really unbelievable, especially her commitment to a role.
Hands down, easily the most deserved Oscar for anybody this year.
Oh, absolutely.
I put Gary Oldman in it, maybe number two, because that is an acting performance for the ages.
Yes.
But Allison Janney is so good in I, Tonya, and I, Tonya, so go see that movie. Last one before we get to our first nominated song, Best Director. Christopher Nolan, Dunkirk, which is about the evacuation of soldiers from Dunkirk in World War II. Jordan Peele was nominated for Get Out. Greta Gerwig was nominated for Lady Bird. Paul Thomas Anderson, that name's familiar, nominated for The Phantom Thread. And Guillermo del Toro for The Shape of Water.
You just said the best director.
Guillermo del Toro is going to get the Oscar.
Yep, that's what I have as well.
Yeah.
He has earned it.
Did he win for Pan's Labyrinth?
No, he did not. He did not.
Guillermo del Toro, this is his Bohemian Rhapsody. This is his beautiful product of his imagination. It's perfect.
This is the great movie / Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yes.
Because Hollywood...
I would say, this is his... Like I said, it's his Bohemian Rhapsody.
Hollywood is very much in love with his stuff. And it's the same thing with Paul Thomas Anderson. They both have very, very distinct styles and very distinct types of movies that they make. And Del Toro really hit it out of the park with The Shape of Water.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great movie. And it's this beautiful sort of retro futurist fantasy, you know, where, yes, it's... past, you know, it's reflecting on a bygone period in American history, but it's also telling a story that even today seems like something that would have happened in the future. And it blends so many themes and elements.
A lot of mythical themes, the color green, a whole bunch of
symbolism coming out of the symbolism. Awesome movie. Del Toro is the odds-on favorite to win this.
He won the DGA.
He won the Directors Guild of America Award, which is usually a pretty good...
Indicator. Yeah.
The only person who stands a chance against him in this category is Christopher Nolan.
Because Christopher Nolan always stands a chance against any other
Whenever he's nominated, you're right.
But the criticism that I keep hearing about Dunkirk, it's interesting because this is the same criticism I had about the movie, is that it's difficult to follow.
Yes.
Most Christopher Nolan movies are difficult to follow. To be perfectly frank, I mean... every movie I've seen by Christopher Nolan, I've had to watch it like two or three times. And I'm a smart woman, but it's always become I think I must have missed something.
See, I always find his stuff This is interesting because I always find his stuff too ham-fisted. You know, especially in the Batman movies. There was inevitably that scene where somebody would have to sit there and explain to you everything that's going on in the movie. And it's like, stop. I get it. I've read comic books. I understand what's happening here. And
well, that's because you're a nerd, Derek. I mean, that's the difference.
In Dunkirk, he threw out all the exposition, and you've got these timelines colliding with each other. And he's just editing from story to story. Mm-hmm. And there are points where I'm sitting there and I'm like, wait, which one is that? Where are we? What? How is all this coming together?
Yeah.
Once you get it, it's an amazing experience as a film. But
that's the thing, is that you have to get it.
Yeah.
It's different from watching another director's work and just ending the movie feeling satisfied, feeling okay, all of that was very fluid and understandable and blah blah blah, blah.
Whereas
with Christopher Nolan, sometimes you have to you end the movie and you're like,
it's like the movie The Prestige that he directed.
Yeah, I was gonna say Prestige being a perfect example. Really,
but that's
the Prestige it's a fantastic movie. Yeah. My ex-boyfriend introduced me to that. But the same thing, that's a perfect example where you watch it, you get to the end of it, and you're like, I think I get it,
yeah,
but maybe I should watch it again just to make sure I actually get it.
But what you're up against here is Christopher Nolan with a brilliant, ambitious but flawed motion picture versus Guillermo del Toro with an ambitious and perfectly realized film, where you look at that movie and you're like, there is nothing I would change here. Everything here is perfect.
Well, and that's my point, is that the reason I think Guillermo del Toro earned this Oscar is for that exact reason, that it's fluid and perfect. It's from start to finish, you end the movie feeling as though you got the exact point he was trying to make, and you don't have to watch it again as a result.
It is WMFO Medford. It is our annual Oscar picks. We're going to help you win your Oscar pool. Coming up next, we're going to get to the ones that we're a little less certain about, but are still probably pretty good locks. But before that, we will be hearing all of the Oscar nominees for Best Song from the movie Mudbound. This is Mary J. Blige.
Teacher, time is a healer, and I'm a believer, like a river wide. Ego's a killer, greed is a monster, but love is stronger, stronger than them all. Who I fight in head, I don't wanna fight. No lines in the sand, I'm on your side. No color lies. It's time we put our differences aside. Time tells no lies. It keeps changing and ticking and moving, then passes by. But if you're lucky, it will be kind. So full of life, liquid like time, let it wash away the pain from yesterday. Love is the answer, hate is a cancer. Hope of forgiveness, it waters the soul. Our blood. We're not so different, 'cause underneath our skin, we're identical. White flag in hand, I'm not gonna fight. No lines in the sand, I'm on your side. Invisible, no color line. Oh, it's time we
everybody. Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
WMFO-FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Chase Blaine. With me, as always, is Derek Gary. And as a special treat tonight, we also have Molly Gary on the airwaves with us. We are giving you our Oscar predictions. And Derek, what's up next?
Well, we've got, so we're going through these in order of our confidence. And I've gone through our mortal locks so far, which is
acting,
all of the acting
and the
categories.
Directing.
And the directing, and we're looking at Gary Oldman, Frances McDormand, Sam Rockwell, Allison Janney, and Guillermo del Toro came
this
out
on
top.
This is one of the, I gotta make this point quickly. So far, Derek and I agree on everything.
Mortal.
Oh,
that
God,
never
that's
happens.
So weird and creepy.
Mortal,
we agree
mortal,
on everything.
Mortal locks. If you don't put those on your ballot and you lose, don't come crying to me because I told you so. And everyone at the party is going to laugh at you. And that's just the way it goes. So this next one is actually a mortal lock as well. This is animated feature. Mm. And the nominees are The Boss Baby, Alec Baldwin Hates Puppies.
Really dumb movie, by the way.
The Breadwinner, Afghani Girl Pretends to Be a Boy So That She Can Eat. That's cheerful and uplifting. Coco, Pixar, Day of the Dead. And
Dia
why,
de los muertos.
And, why
muertos.
Family is not allowed to play any kind of music. Ferdinand, which is about a bull, and Loving Vincent, which is entirely done in sand animation.
I need to see that.
And is about Vincent Van Gogh. Breathtaking, incredible piece of technical achievement. That is really, really, really hard animation to do. Some of the hardest animation to do. It's a damn shame it's going to lose to Coco.
So I think we've gathered what Derek's pick is.
No, it's Coco. Coco is the mortal.
Yeah, it's Coco.
Don't even think.
I'm in a show right now with a woman whose son is the chief storyboard artist for Coco. So we're all like, you know, behind her. Like, we want him to win. We want him to win.
See, I was, to be honest with you, I was between The Boss Baby because it's such a commercial hit.
It's so dumb.
And it's, I know it's dumb. That's not the point. But, and Loving Vincent because I love Vincent Van Gogh. And because, as Derek said, the animation is unbelievable. Like, I can't even, I've had to animate things before for college classes, and I can't even imagine trying to do that with sand.
Animated feature should just be called Best Pixar Film. Or Pixar Wins.
That's true.
You know, this is the gimme Oscar
remember,
for Disney.
I would say,
year.
I remember when Pixar like became a thing and it just turned into we just take everything. And it doesn't even matter what the movie's about. Like,
yeah.
It really doesn't. It's just a matter of, look how good we are at animating things.
So are you going with Coco?
I guess.
Yeah. Coco wins.
Reluctantly.
Coco wins. There is no question that Coco wins. There isn't even anything else that's in danger of toppling it. This is,
no, there really... I mean, not, well, that's the thing
year.
Is there are things that I wish would, but this award show is very, right. For lack of a better word, political.
Yeah.
Yep.
And when the categories get political, that's kind of where you want to lean sometimes.
Yeah.
Best Original Screenplay. The nominees are The Big Sick, which is a romantic comedy.
Great
about
movie.
Cultural differences. And a true story, by the way, based on the romance of the author and his wife. Get Out, which is Jordan Peele's horror slash social satire slash comedy movie. Lady Bird, Greta Gerwig wrote it and directed it. The Shape of Water, which is the Guillermo del Toro film, and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Chase Spillane.
I think we're, to be perfectly honest, after like this one, I thought about a lot. And I think it's going to be Get Out. Only because it's not going to get Best Picture.
No.
It's not going to get anything else it's nominated for. But it is a brilliant piece of cinema. And especially because they combine the element of horror, the element of comedy, and the social commentary on a very, very real and current subject in our society. And I think that, as I said, I don't want to say the Oscars are rigged, but there's definitely an amount of, well, we'll give them credit here kind of aspect to it. And I think that this is where they'll give it to Get Out.
Took the Writers Guild Award.
Yes.
Which is usually a pretty good indication of what's going to happen at the Oscars. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Conventional wisdom has been that this is a lock to win Best Original Screenplay. However, in recent days, as the Oscar voting has been submitted and people start talking, oh, I picked this and that, you know, and people have their ears to the ground, there is some growing buzz around Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. So Get Out remains the odds-on favorite. But not by a massive, massive margin.
Well, what do you think?
But see, we haven't touched on Best Picture yet.
No, we'll get to that at the end.
That's what I'm trying to say is that I don't think that, I think we'll get
to, history get to tells that. Me that this history tells me that this category is very friendly to first time film.
Oh, absolutely.
Screenwriters.
Think about Juno.
Yeah.
Juno won Best Original Screenplay. And that was Dakota.
Diablo Cody.
Diablo Cody. Thank you.
Charlie Kaufman took this way back in the day. And it's Jordan Peele.
Yeah, this is a very welcoming category, if you will.
It's a major, and it's a way to give a major to Jordan Peele and say, we love your movie. So,
but you're not quite up there yet.
Yeah. So, well, it's not, you know, I don't know that you're going to give him Best Director first time out against this competition.
Matt Damon won in this category.
Goodbye, Mr.
Goodwill Hunting.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had a brain fart. Goodwill Hunting.
Goodbye, Mr.
Goodbye, Mr. Goodbar, or whatever that movie. Goodwill Hunting. Yes. Best Adapted Screenplay.
You didn't ask me what I wanted.
Best Adapted Screenplay.
Go ahead, enlighten us.
Get Out.
Yeah, I knew that.
No, you did.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
We've talked about this.
I could change my mind.
See, we listen. I do listen to you sometimes.
Really?
Rarely. Best Adapted Screenplay.
Do you want me to hop in?
The nominees are Call Me By Your Name, about a creepy relationship between an adult and a child, but it's okay because they're gay. The Disaster Artist.
I almost just spit Pellegrino all over my laptop when he said that.
Which will not win because James Franco apparently likes to touch people. Or that's alleged. Logan, I don't know how that got here.
It's a good movie, though.
Yeah, but they're not. Molly's Game, which is, what's his face there? That guy that we like.
My favorite, The West Wing, Aaron Sorkin.
Aaron Sorkin. That's his latest film. And Mudbound, which is Netflix and will not win because it's Netflix. Will not win because it's Netflix. I'm pointing that out because there are people in Hollywood saying that. They don't
really
like that Netflix is putting these films in the theater.
They really don't.
For a week.
Well, it's a matter of profit margin. That's why they're angry about it.
It's a matter of the way that it's disrupting the film industry and the fact that Netflix has its wallet open to anybody who walks in the door.
True story.
South Park did a joke about it where they were answering the phone. Netflix, you're greenlit.
There are comedians doing 10-minute specials for Netflix.
Yeah, yeah, and it's sort of like, so you can count Mudbound out of this.
Well, disregarding what you said, I do think that at least what deserves it is The Disaster Artist, because it's the only nod that this film got in the Oscars lineup, and they definitely did a really good job of just encapsulating a true story, and especially as someone who has lived in Los Angeles and knows what that's like and what the lifestyle is like, what, how you become as successful is like, it just encapsulated it so well. And speaking as a woman in the entertainment industry, I mean, yeah, we have whatever allegations against James Franco, but it's comparatively, it's light.
It's made him toxic, however.
It has.
In the same way that Casey Affleck is toxic.
I mean, when all of the pedophilic allegations came out against Michael Jackson, everyone was like, but he's a really good performer.
And it's also the music industry. And it's different standards.
Yeah, but suffice it to say, I think that while because of the current climate, there's a good chance that this won't win, I do think the Disaster Artist is most deserved of this.
So you don't think it'll win?
No, I don't, because of everything with James Franco.
So,
I'm going with the Writers Guild.
That it should.
I'm going with the Writers Guild on this one. Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah, Call Me By Your Name is pretty much a lock in this category because, you know, Hollywood, well, it's Hollywood. I mean, where older men and young children are doing things all the time anyway, so I've heard. So, of course, they're going to back up a story like this, right? You know, it's not creepy that he's an adult and this little teenager who doesn't really understand his identity. It's okay. It's okay.
I love how he's looking at me when he's saying,
It's okay, Molly.
WMFO Medford.
It's okay.
The second nominee for Best Song comes from the film Call Me By Your Name, and it is by Sufjan Stevens. So let's check that out here on WMFO Medford.
By the time I cried, I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
Throw out some love to Barry White, Love Unlimited Orchestra, and King Kong theme. They're going to be bringing us in every break tonight. That was their version of the Superman theme.
It's definitely not too shabby.
No.
I will hand it to them.
From the 1979 classic, Super Movie themes, just a little bit different. And it's all like disco interpretations of popular movie themes. Great.
This is WMFO Medford, by the way.
It is WMFO Medford. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary, Shea Spillane, and Molly Gary with our Oscar picks, helping you win your Oscar pool this year. And we just went through a category with some more questionable nominations, things mm-hmm. that we're not as certain of, because we're certain that, well, Shay's not, but Molly and I are certain that Gary Oldman is going to win Best Actor. Frances McDormand is going to win Best Actress. Who else is?
I like to Guillermo be the Toro. Contrarian. What can I say?
Sam Rockwell, Best Supporting Actor. Allison Janney, Best Supporting Actress. Guillermo del Toro, a Best Director.
That's those two things we did agree upon.
Animated feature, Coco.
Yes.
So what's the, when you're looking at this category, just say, what's the Pixar movie? And then check that off. Best Original Screenplay should be Get Out, and Best Adapted Screenplay should be Call Me By Your Name. So, as we go into each one of these categories, our confidence level drops a little bit.
Yes.
But the first one in each one is pretty strong. And that brings us to makeup and hairstyling.
Makeup and hairstyling.
Where the nominees are The Darkest Hour for turning Gary Oldman into Winston Churchill. Victoria and Abdul, which is a period piece.
It's
and,
really good.
And Wonder, which is about a
also really good.
Small boy with some
facial deformities.
I do love how few people were nominated in this category. It's a difficult thing to try to praise somebody for.
And in two of these movies, you've got a lead character that is defined through makeup.
Yes, that's why I chose for myself. I chose Darkest Hour because it's very difficult to make anyone who isn't Winston Churchill
look like Winston Churchill.
And I think that, I mean, just from the, I actually haven't seen the movie, but I watched several clips. And I think that they really did an outstanding job just from looking at historical videos, photos, what have you, of Winston Churchill and comparing it to their ability to make the actor.
Wonder,
I mean, it was crazy how good the likeness was. And it's, like I said, it's a difficult person to encapsulate.
They did a really good job with Wonder. I don't know if you guys have seen The Room. That was from a couple of years ago. The little boy in that is the kid in Wonder, you know, same. And the cutest little boy, like the, so adorable. Doesn't look like him one bit. They did a fabulous job on the makeup with him, but I agree with Shay. Like, it's hard for anybody that's not Winston Churchill to look like Winston Churchill.
Totally.
They did a phenomenal job making Gary Oldman. You knew it was him a little bit with the eyes, a little like
when, where? Because I never,
at times, once in a while.
I'm sitting there trying to picture Gary Oldman through that whole movie, and I just can't see him.
Well, no, what I saw was his character from Harry Potter, Sirius Black. The eyes I saw a couple times.
Oh yes, he was serious, wasn't he?
That was about it, though.
Yeah.
That's
I will always remember him from The Professional as the drug abusing police captain out to get Leon and Natalie Portman. Darkest Hour, I agree. And Darkest Hour is the odds on favorite to take this. I don't think there's any real competition here. This
Wonder was good, but
it's
not
pretty close to a lock, but this category has been confounding in past years. Only the technical people get to vote on this. The top, and a lot of people don't understand this, when you get into the technical awards, only the members of that technical branch of the Academy vote on that award.
Yeah.
Everyone votes on Best Picture. Everyone votes on Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Director, those things.
But only the people who actually know the technical aspects of this and what goes into it are the ones that are allowed to vote for this.
So we all sit around and we say, wow, you know, that's amazing. Whereas the makeup artist may be sitting around me and like, I hate that guy. That guy like stiffed me on a film I worked on 10 years ago. I'm never giving him an Oscar. And then suddenly Victoria and Abdul win. So the consensus is that Darkest Hour is going to take this. And
pretty safe bet.
Given that Oldman is going to get Best Actor and that makeup is a big part of that character, I think it's pretty safe. Film editing, well, maybe not so much. Your nominees are Baby Driver. It's not Alden Ehrenreich. It's the other guy.
Ansel Elgort.
Ansel Elgort. I confuse the two of them all the time, and probably will for all time. As a driver for the mob, this movie has Kevin Spacey in it, by the way. Dunkirk, which is a Christopher Nolan World War II movie. I, Tonya, the Tonya Harding story. The Shape of Water, Guillermo del Toro's adult fairy tale, and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
I think Dunkirk should get it. And the reason why is because they edit together land, sea, and air. And just putting them together is pretty tough.
See, I went with I, Tonya only because within that film, there are a lot of quick cuts. There are a lot of stunt moves that are, everything's done completely flawlessly. You don't question if it's the actor who's playing the role. You don't. None of it looks staged, despite the fact that, especially, not to spoiler alert, but there's a lot of
Margot Robbie didn't physical, do that skating herself.
There's a some lot of it, there's of a lot did. Of both physical things in terms of skating moves and physical things in terms of violence, and all of it is very flawlessly done.
Are you telling?
Is so believable to the point of being disturbing.
Are you telling me that that Margot Robbie can't land a triple axle?
Oh no, she totally can.
I hope so. Because if Daniel Day-Lewis was playing that part, Daniel Day-Lewis would have learned how to land a triple axle.
He would have learned how to do a quadruple axle.
You mean
axle.
That thing that no one else ever did before Tonya Harding, yeah. like 20 years ago?
Yeah. I am going with Dunkirk. And here's what you can eliminate from this category. You can take out Baby Driver because a movie with Kevin Spacey is not going to get
nope.
a major. It's not going to get a major. And film editing is considered a major. The Shape of Water, I don't know why it's here. Beautiful movie, but there was nothing spectacular about the editing
How about
of that film.
Editing? Yeah.
Same thing for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. I am siding with Dunkirk because Dunkirk is editing.
Yes.
Editing is the storytelling mechanism for this, and it impacts how the whole thing plays out. That said, Dunkirk is not a lock in this category, and I, Tonya is nipping at its heels very closely. It will be one of those two films.
It's well, that's the thing, is especially as having gone to college for film. That was a total waste of money.
So
but,
hey, both of you.
Yeah, we both wasted a lot of money.
We both have film degrees.
But especially like knowing what goes into the editing process. That, I mean, there were so many times over the course of watching I, Tonya that I just sat there being like, how did you pull this off?
It's a little bit like Gravity was a few years ago.
Yeah, like, yes. Just how did you make this look real?
Yeah.
Especially knowing how much of it was, you know, of course, staged or CGI'd or what have you. But I do agree that it's between those two.
Yeah. I think Dunkirk might be the safer of the two choices, but you can feel free to go with either one in this category.
Go, Waitanya. Go, Ayatanya.
Foreign language film. Nobody's seen any of these.
My parents have seen one of them the other day.
I would say I actually watched one of them.
They saw the Hungarian one.
So here we go. We've got A Fantastic Woman, which is a Chilean film about a transgender woman, Daniela Vega, who is very much being buzzed about in Hollywood right now and will be presenting at the Oscars, by the way, mourning the loss of her lover. And yes, this film features amazing costumes and dancing, as every film about an alternative lifestyle that will be accepted by Hollywood has to be. This goes all the way back to
West Side Story?
No.
Further than that?
No, more recent than that, actually.
Crying Game?
The Australian movie. They're on the bus with the ABBA soundtrack.
Muriel's Wedding.
You know what I'm talking about. The three drag queens. Ian McKellen.
Tu Wong Fu.
Yes. Thanks for all the love.
That is not Ian McKellen, but okay.
Who is it?
Patrick Swayze. Yeah, Wesley Snipes. Swayze. John Leguizamo.
No,
yes,
no,
John
I'm thinking
of that one. And Wesley Snipes.
No, I'm thinking of a different. Anyway.
Anyway.
You know where I'm going with this. La Cage aux Folles. If it's got costumes and dancing, we love the gays. If it doesn't have costumes and dancing, it better be Call Me By Your Name, or we have no use for any movies about gay themes. That's where Hollywood is right now.
Yeah.
The Insult, which is a Lebanese film, and it's a courtroom procedural about a Christian who sues a Palestinian for insulting him, and the ensuing lawsuit gets dragged into the limelight, and it becomes a meditation on lingering hostility after the Lebanese Civil War. Loveless, which is about a divorcing couple who are looking for their runaway child. This is the second time that Russian Andrei Zivanigsev has been nominated for Best Foreign Language Film.
Ivan.